Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim teach us how to access God's glory by faith. Learn to set a standard in your life based on God's love and His Word that will draw others to Christ.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Billy Brim's back with us today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. She's got some more wonderful wisdom for us to help us live in victory. I like victory. I don't like to be down under. I want to be up on top. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the Word of God will, faith in the Word of God will give you the victory. Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I believe that.
That's right, Gloria, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Good.
Faith and how it is involved with the glory.
Yes.
The glory of God is the presence of God manifested. It's God's plan. He's going to move toward that glorious church, filling us with His glory. He's also moving toward, He's going to fill earth with His glory.
Yes,
amen. Now, faith has something to do with it.
Yes.
And we've seen yesterday that love has something to do with it, how much glory you have in your life, how much presence of God, but faith does too. So today's, we're going to talk about that.
Okay,
so,
good.
So we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13. And the children of Israel, you know, they've crossed the Red Sea, and they're coming into the land of promise that God has promised them. So there's 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And in Numbers chapter 13, verse 17, it says, Moses sent them to spy out the land. He took people from every tribe, the 12 tribes. And so they go into the land, and they go down to Hebron. I go there often. And verse 22, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Tarmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought the pomegranates and that of the figs. They went down there, and they still have great big grapes down there in Hebron area. They had a cluster of grapes that they had a pole. They had to tie that thing on, and two men had to carry it. See, God told them, I'm taking you to land. I mean, that's some kind of a land. It's flowing with milk and honey. So they go in there, and then they come back after 40 days, verse 25. And they return from searching the land after 40 days. 40 is the number of testing. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran. And they brought back word unto them. They were sent in to get a report. And all the congregation, and he showed them the grapes. They showed them what a great land it was. And they said, oh, we came unto the land, just like God said. It flows with milk and honey. And here's the fruit of it. Look at these grapes. But, nevertheless, it says, but it's, but.
Nevertheless.
The people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. We saw the giants. I guess that's why they got these giant grapes, for giant giants.
I guess so.
We saw the giants. And Caleb, all the people, giants, giants, giants. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to overcome them. They're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report.
Oh, mercy.
What is an evil report? Doubt.
Unbelief.
Unbelief. God said, I'm giving you this land. He told them over and over and over, I'm giving you the land. It flows with milk and honey. We can't go in there. There's giants. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel. And they said this. Here's the report. Mm-hmm. The land through which we've gone to search it, it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. I doubt they saw any inhabitants eaten up. And all the people that we saw are men of a great stature. That's a lie.
Giants, huh?
They weren't all giants.
No.
Down there in that one place, they went through the whole land. They went down there in that one place, they saw giants. All the people are giants. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come up out of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight.
Well, they didn't know.
They don't know what the giants think of them.
Their sight.
The giants didn't say, you're grasshoppers. They said, we're grasshoppers. And my granddaughter was teaching the other day in a church, our church in Collinsville, Oklahoma, where Chip preaches, and she was a guest speaker on Mother's Day. And she's a television person, and she talked about focus and how on the cameras you focus on something, mm-hmm. and then other things get out of focus. Like you focus on this one person here, and way over here somebody's out of focus. And she was talking about, like, for instance, your focus has to be right. Has to be according to the Word of God. You're supposed to look in the Word of God and see who you are. In the letters, mm-hmm. what you have. So they were supposed to have been focused on what God told them. I'm sending you to this land.
Those words.
I give it to you. He told them that over and over and over. And she talked about, like, you remember, especially some years back when anorexia was a really, really big thing the devil was pushing. Mm-hmm. And how young girls who were skinny as rails would look into the mirror and they said, I'm fat. Yep. Look, I'm fat. I can't eat. And they starve themselves to death. This is the focus right here. They're looking in their mirror. They didn't look in the Word of God as if it's a mirror. And they said, we're grasshoppers. The giants didn't say they're grasshoppers. They said we're grasshoppers.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so it's the same way with you and me. If we want to say what the devil says about us, you got up this morning, you're depressed.
Oh, I'm depressed.
You're a worm.
I'm just a little worm.
Nobody Everybody's against me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going out and eat worms. What does God say? Didn't you ever sing that little song when you were little? I'm
fat
going
worms?
Out and eat worms?
No.
Big fat woolly worms, little slimy slimy worms. Golly,
no,
how it wiggles,
I miss that
tickles
one.
When they squirm. Anyway, the first one went down easy. The second went down greasy. I won't bother you with the rest of it. But it begins with, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. That's not true.
A terrible thing.
God loves you. I don't think God loves me. He's nice to somebody over here. No, it is written that God loved you. He is love.
Right.
And he has given you all things to enjoy. And he has done this and that and that.
That's why to be safe in this world, you need to know what the Bible says.
You have to know what the Bible says.
Then you can be safe.
And who wrote
know what
the Bible?
To believe. Yeah.
God wrote
That's
the Bible.
That's right. It's his word.
It's his word. And he said, I give you this land. You go in there, you take it. But mm-hmm. no, they don't go by that. They're going to go by what they see. And they saw those giants, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers.
Mm.
So the congregation, they're giving this report to the congregation. There's several million people in this congregation. What happens?
Where
Chapter
are you?
14, verse 1. All the congregation lift up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, there's at least 2.5 million of them.
Now, there's nothing that's happened yet.
No!
Nothing bad.
They only got a bad report. You know, there's a scripture which says that the man of God, I think it's Psalm 112, they're not shaken at a bad report. These people got shaken. You can imagine what it was like to have 2.5 million people crying all night. Beating their chest, crying, oh, God, what do you do? Bring us out here for the giants.
Eat us up.
So all the night they cried. It must have been a horrible sound.
You know it was.
Out there in the desert.
Murmuring, griping, complaining.
Yeah.
Murmuring. Against their leader, Moses.
All the children of Israel, all of them murmured, verse 2, against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation, 2.5 million at least, said, would God we died in Egypt. Now they've been slaves in Egypt. They've been treated terrible. Would God we died in Egypt. Or would God we died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us into this land of all by the sword?
Unbelief and self-pity has taken over.
And our wives and our children will be a prey.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it have been better if we turned unto Egypt? Brother. And then they say, let us make us a captain and return to Egypt. This could be a church.
This is a revolt, man.
Yeah, it's
now
a revolt. I mean, nothing happened. Not one thing happened, but a bad report. This could be a church.
Yeah.
Let us get us another pastor.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get a pastor that doesn't make us believe God.
Or tithe.
No,
he doesn't make us tithe.
Make us do all that. We can just walk and self-pity and it'd be all right to have a pity party. We don't want to have a pastor that makes us walk just on the Word of God.
Or a pastor that makes us say right things all the time.
Right.
You can't complain.
No,
you can't gripe.
No, supposed to do it. Supposed to just march on in there and believe God to take care of the giants. Well, we want a new pastor. We want to go back.
Yeah.
So then Moses and Aaron, God bless their darling hearts, they fell on their faces before all the congregation.
Thank
and
God
the children
somebody
of Israel.
Prayed.
Praise God. And Joseph, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, they that searched the lands, they rent their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is good land, exceedingly good. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey, just like he said. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they're bread for us. We just crush them like bread. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. We're covenant people. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones.
Now they want to kill their leader.
Yeah. It's two and a half, 3 million of them. Everybody says this.
Dear me.
So there's plenty of rocks over there. They all reach down and grab them a stone.
That's sad.
Well, with stoning 3.5 million, you not only kill them, you bury them at the same time, you know, not bother to dig a grave. But, something showed up. What showed up?
The Lord said.
And this is verse 10. I'm going to read it to you. But all the congregation bade stone them with
the
stone.
Glory.
And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel.
Praise God.
Now, the glory of the Lord, Gloria, is a tool of judgment. You can cooperate with God. You can have the glory and enjoy it. It's not written here, but I know the next thing that happened. There was a huge sound. Thud! They all dropped their stones at the same time. I know that's what happened because they picked him up. They go to stone Moses. And then, wow, the glory. I don't know if it looks like a cloud this time or it looks like fire. I think probably looked like more fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm quite sure that the next sound was the stone hit the dirt. 3 million stones go down. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be before they believe me? Believing God has to do with the glory.
Yes, it does.
Believing God.
Unbelief won't work.
Unbelief won't work.
No.
Doubt and unbelief won't work. You're not going to see the glory of God, the presence of God move in on the scene with doubt and unbelief.
That's right.
How long will it be before they believe me? Look at all the signs I've showed them. And so he says, stand back, Moses. And Moses said, he said, I'll smite them with pestilence, disinherit them, and I'll make of you a greater nation and mightier than they. So God says, stand back, Moses.
I'll fix this.
I'm going to wipe them all out.
Yeah.
And I'll start over with you and Aaron and Miriam and whoever else believed, Joshua and Caleb. Just stand back.
Mm-hmm.
But that Moses, he is a man of love of those people. And Moses said unto the Lord, now he is not going to be able to offer any merits to get them mercy.
He can't say
there's
nothing. He can say nothing good about them.
Nothing.
No. There's nothing.
He can't say one thing about them that merits God's mercy.
He just got to go for mercy.
So what does he do? He goes on the Lord, he says. Then the Egyptians will hear about it, that you brought up this people. in your might from among them, and they'll tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they've heard that you, Lord, are among this people, and you, Lord, are seen face to face, and that your cloud stands over them, and that you go before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and night in a pillar of fire.
In other words, this is not a good testimony.
No. He's going on the Lord's reputation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he knows that the Lord loves the whole earth and that he wants to manifest himself through the whole earth. And he's chosen these children of Israel, his covenant people, to manifest to all the other nations. Now, what's this going to look like, Lord, on your record? If you kill all these people, verse 15, as one man, then the nations will hear about it. And they'll say, verse 16, mm-hmm. Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, I'm begging you, let the power of my Lord be great, according as it has spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering.
Yes.
And a great mercy, Lord, forgiving iniquity and transgression.
He's pleading his case.
He's pleading the case in all the cases on God, who God is. He's merciful.
Yeah.
You got a reputation besides that reputation.
Forgiving.
You forgive. You are just. But I'm begging you, verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your mercy, and as you have forgiven this people from Egypt unto now, I'm begging you. And so he got what he interceded for. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but...
Yeah.
Now here's a declaration, the Lord's declaration. As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Yes, that's right.
See, God's on a plan here. He's removed his glory when Adam fell. Now, he's come back to this people, came on a mountaintop, showed his glory. Mm-hmm. And he said, I want you to follow me. And his plan is, he's going to take this people and he's going to reintroduce his presence and his glory. But this people didn't work with him.
They didn't work with
him. They didn't believe him. And so, who's watching? Satan's watching. God made this declaration for Satan's good. He's saying, as truly as I live, I'm going to get this whole earth filled with my glory again. There's going to come a people that believe me.
Amen.
There's going to come a people that will work with me. And then I'm going to be able to fill this whole earth
Praise
with my
God.
Glory.
Amen.
Right here now. See, faith had something to do with the glory. It had something to do with the manifestation of God's glory.
That's right.
And they didn't work with him in faith. So none of them got to go in.
That's right.
Except guess who?
Caleb.
Caleb and Joshua. They got to go in. Because why? They believed God.
It says they believed fully. They believed him, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. And has followed me fully.
Yes.
Then, this is God talking. Then will I bring into the land whereunto he went. And
yes.
His seed shall possess it.
Yes. And what's the difference? Faith.
Faith. He honored God. He believed what God said.
He believed what God said.
He didn't let the devil talk him out of it.
He didn't let the devil talk him out of it. The giant said, boo. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land and his seed, and he shall possess it. It's the same with you.
Yeah, that's right.
If you believe God, right in the face of the giants.
Amen.
Right in the face of the giants of life. If you find you a scripture and you stand on it, no word of God will return to him void. It is written in Isaiah 55:11. You find yourself a scripture, and you said, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the giant said. Here's what God said. And no word returns to him void. I can take it. I can take the promise. Hallelujah. I can see God's manifested presence.
That's exactly what you see have the to glory. Do today. Where the word
it didn't
of
change.
Concerned. Yeah.
God never changes, Gloria. No. It's written. He never changes.
Ken and I began to take the word. We came out of lack, poverty, everything. I mean, we had good health. It just you just take the word. Now, sometimes you get tested over it. I mean, the devil sometimes
they were tested right
doesn't
here.
Want to let it go, but he has to. Here we are. Glory to God. All these years later, we live in victory. We're healed. Somebody's just thought, boy, I wouldn't want to say that. Well, that's the problem. You got to say what you want to come to pass and what you believe, not what the devil tells you to do. So that's just the way faith works.
That's how it works.
That's the way it works. You have a word. We are blessed to have the written word. We can look up the scriptures on healing, prosperity, peace, blessing. All we have to do is just let it in our eyes and our ears, get it in our heart, bring it out our mouth, and take it. And we have it.
Take the promises.
Billy and I'll be right back.
Every available voice. That's the direction Kenneth Copeland received from God early on in this ministry. One of the voices the Lord instructed Kenneth and Gloria to use was television. At the time, not many preachers were using that outlet, and in the natural, it looked completely impossible. However, in 1978, the Lord dropped into Kenneth and Gloria's hearts that now was the time, and the impossible became possible. Just months later, in May of 1979, the Believer's Voice of Victory weekly broadcast was launched. The Lord increased their reach and effectiveness, and thousands of lives were changed as they heard the word preached.
The Lord had me to sit down and watch this broadcast. I sat and I listened. I was excited. I learned more in 22 minutes than the whole while I've been in church.
I was going through a hard time. I didn't want to live anymore. And one Sunday morning, I turned on the television at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there was Kenneth Copeland.
I was listening to the TV on a Sunday morning, and I was about to change the channel when I started listening to what he was saying and realized that he was not just any TV evangelist, it was Kenneth. And I sensed right away that he was for real, that he had a true anointing of the Holy Spirit on him.
In 1989, a gigantic leap of faith occurred when the Copelands added the daily Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Dozens of guests have shared revelation from God's Word through this platform, and millions upon millions of people have heard this message of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around. Today, the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast airs on over 280 stations. 6 days a week, you can find the broadcast across the United States, Canada, and Latin America, as well as on KCM.org, YouTube, and the Believer's Voice of Victory Network with its many outlets. The network alone has a potential viewing audience of over 1.1 billion people. Additionally, the Sunday broadcast airs across Africa and is translated into Spanish and German for distribution. The daily BVOV broadcast is also distributed across Australia and is translated for airing in Russia and the Ukraine. God's Word is going forth with power, reaching as many as 3.5 billion viewers. And this is only the beginning. Together, we will continue to preach this uncompromised message on every available voice, declaring that
Jesus is Lord.
Today is offering day, and Billy's going to share some word with us to help our faith rise up, take the prosperity that belongs to us. Glory
yes.
to God.
And Gloria, it's in this scripture that I'm going to read is the word glory. And it's the first time that it's mentioned in the Bible. And when it's called the law of first mention, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. when something's mentioned the first time, it never loses that meaning. Whenever you go ever read it through the Bible, it's still got the same connotation to it. So here we're going to find Jacob. And he's overworking for his uncle Laban, you know, and he's working for his wife.
Where are you now?
I'm in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 43.
Okay.
And so his uncle Laban, who cheated him right and left, even gave him the wrong daughter for his wife. But Jacob, God gave him a plan, And he had the cattle, you know. And he gave them a plan so that when those cattle came up to, those herds, actually, the sheep and goats, when they came up to breed, there was a certain way that the ones that were Jacob's increased. And so it is written in verse 43, and the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses.
Exceedingly rich, it says.
And he heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. So the first time we see anything in the Bible about glory, it has to do with wealth. And so there is something about the increase upon the glory that you give, the wealth that you give. God wants it to increase, and the way that he made is to give. And so I want to invite you to give to Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's ministry. I'm telling you, this word that they have going all out over the world, it needs to increase. And it can increase, and you can increase. The increase can be upon the blessing that God is giving
you. Thank you, Lord. And in your life, you know, you want to be a tither. You want to be a... I mean, that's where the blessing is. When Ken and I began to tithe, we didn't have very much money. But when we began to tithe, the blessing took hold.
Yeah. And the glory increased.
Yes, it did.
Because God gave it to you.
So did the money increase.
It is.
So we're praying over your offering, Father. We thank you for the blessing coming upon the offering of every person and increase in a more powerful way than ever before in all of our lives, in your life, in our life, in the name of Jesus. You ought to have abundance. If you're serving God with your whole heart, you're doing what the Word says, abundance.
His increase will be on you.
Glory to God. This is Gloria and Billy reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give or call 800-600-7395. This is the time for miracles. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year. Text to Give is available in the U.S. only. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. November 9th through 11th, the Copelands invite you to the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. And in 2018, April 5th through 7th, the Copelands welcome you to the Branson Victory Campaign at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. May 31st through June 2nd, join Kenneth Copeland Ministries at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Convention Center in Sacramento, California. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.